Are you sure?
Here's the 30-second lesson on what legends know. Never ask a bride why she's getting married. Don't wear a skirt on a windy day. Deodorant is not a shower. Don't sniff chili flakes. And don't forget, saving is not investing. Legends don't just save, they invest in mutual funds. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
Election preparations are on in earnest. As and when trends emerge, we pick them up and we bring them to you. Today, we talk about what we learn from the lists that BJP has put out of its candidates. 405 candidates BJP has announced already. Remember, there is 543 in Lok Sabha. In many of the seats, BJP will not be contesting because they have their partners in Bihar, JDU, for example. In Maharashtra, both their factions, the BJP-aligned factions of Shiv Sena and NCP. So those seats they will not be contesting, as many in the Northeast. So if you take all of those out also, I would say that the BJP has already announced a bulk of its candidates, 405. Remember the last time they won, 303 seats. What are these lists telling us? Again, remember, there are more names to come, but there won't be that many more. A bulk of the candidates have now been announced. And we can discern some clear trends from these. And these are very interesting trends because once we list all the trends, we can draw a line underneath that and draw a conclusion from that, which is what I will try to do. So first of all, winnability. It looks like the BJP this time in its selection of candidates, it's not so encumbered by the idea of winnability or not so weighed down by the idea of winnability. Winnability means sometimes even if it's candidate you don't like for whatever reason, or you might just think this candidate is getting too uppity, or maybe this candidate thinks that he or she keeps winning only on their own strength, so you want to put them in your place. But parties still stick by those candidates because they say the candidate is winnable. So winnability is an old criterion, time-tested criterion in Indian politics, I presume in electoral politics everywhere. So if a candidate is winnable, the candidate wins a seat. Not so with BJP anymore, because once again I draw the line underneath this. Because the BJP now believes that its MPs get elected because they get votes in the name of Narendra Modi and on the symbol of the party. That's why, see, the winnable candidates drop. Now, it's a long list. I will not read out the whole list for you, but I will give you some prominent examples and what is more prominent than what is closer home. So, I sit in Delhi right now. I sit in New Delhi 2 at this point on the edge of Delhi 6, right? So it's the heart of Delhi in a way. And from here, looking at Delhi, I can tell you that 6 of the sitting Delhi MPs have been dropped. Now, in the last election in Delhi, the BJP had not just swept all the 7 seats, but BJP had got 56.86% of the vote. 56.86% is a lot of vote. In fact, in 2 of the seats, BJP might have got a little less percentage. But that's Chandni Chowk, 52.94, so say 53, and Northeast Delhi, again 54. So that was in fact on the lower side. Overall percentage, 56.7%, 56.86, again I'm rounding off, I round off, then I don't like it because I like to be precise. So even with that means BJP's candidates are all winnable candidates. All of them won by large margins. Now, why have they been dropped? Some of this will also feature in the next element. I'm going to give you 7 factors or 7 takeaways that we take from the BJP's list of 405. So some of these names will feature under another head as well. And under the first head, however, BJP not being so bothered about winnability in Delhi itself, Pravesh Verma, Gautam Gambhir, Harshvardhan, former Chief Minister of Delhi, and also very popular man in Delhi, soft-spoken, has won multiple times in Delhi in Chandni Chowk. Ramesh Bidhuri, again a popular candidate, Meenakshi Lekhi, Hansraj Hans, all six have been dropped and new candidates have been brought in. Similarly, you can look around the country and you can see many popular candidates who you could say were sure of winning have been dropped. Varun Gandhi, for example, in Uttar Pradesh, Ashwini Chaubey in Bihar, General B.K. Singh in Uttar Pradesh, in Ghaziabad, all of these are candidates who a party could be sure that they were going to win. And usually, if you are sure that somebody will win, you say, all right, you take the seat. But in this case, the conclusion is that the party thinks that they don't have to bother about how winnable or weak a candidate is, unless the candidate is really hopeless or unless the candidate can create other troubles, like creating a local dissonance in the party, etc. They haven't bothered about that and they have dropped these candidates because the party is confident that they can win on their own power. Once again, if I start listing all the candidates, winnable candidates they've dropped, the list will be too long. But Ramesh Pokhriyal Nishank, the former chief minister of Uttarakhand and also former central minister, he's been dropped. Nihal Chand in Rajasthan, who's been a five-time MP, he's been dropped. In fact, if you look at the BJP's 303 MPs who won election in 2019, out of these 90, that is 30%, have already been dropped. So that tells you that this BJP is now willing to fight elections purely on the strength of its symbol and its main campaigner, which is Narendra Modi. The second important takeaway, I told you there will be seven. The second important takeaway is that many of those who might have used offensive language about Muslims, minorities, or have done controversial things, those who've drawn controversies, many of them in the past looked like the BJP really loved them because they helped polarize the situation. Now it seems like, once again, that's a conclusion. I'm drawing the line underneath this takeaway that the BJP's conclusion seems to be that now the environment is polarized enough anyway, and they have their voters on one side and that side is much more numerous, so they don't need these people who create immediate controversies. And that's why many of these people have now been dropped. I can read out a list to you. Ramesh Bidhuri in Delhi, he's the one, remember, in Lok Sabha, he had taunted and insulted Danish Ali, then BSP MP, now in the Congress party, then Danish Ali, and he had called him really awful things. I presume these have been expunged in parliamentary proceedings, but Bhadwa, Katwa, Mulla, Ugrawadi, stuff like that. All of that was something that caused an immediate outrage. A lot of the people criticized it. He's now been dropped. He had won by a very large margin the last time. He's now been dropped. Similarly, Pravesh Verma, serial offender, the son of late Sahib Singh Verma, former chief minister of Delhi, very powerful, very popular in his area, also commands a lot of the Jat vote. He's been dropped. That seems like a clear message. Next, in Karnataka, Nalin Katil, again former party chief, very controversial, real headline hunter. Pratap Simha, the headline hunter of headline hunters on issues like this, he's out. Anant Kumar Hegde, again a very popular MP and a party stalwart, but yet again somebody who would always make one controversial statement or the other, mostly targeting the minorities, he's gone. Tejaswi Surya, you might say that's counterintuitive, that you are saying all these people have been dropped, but Tejaswi Surya has been retained because he's the one who used to hit these headlines all the time. But look at his track record. For about 2 years now, he's been completely silent on these issues. If anything, he has worked extra hard to keep a clean slate over the past couple of years. And that looks like the reason he's been retained. Some of the other usual suspects who you might have thought, because now that I'm saying this, you will say, but what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? You will say, Giriraj Singh has been retained. Anurag Thakur has been retained. Desh ke gaddaron ko --. Once again, look at their track record. Since 2019-20 generally, because between 2019 and 20, there was Lok Sabha election and Delhi state election and also the Shaheen Bagh anti-CAA protests as well. Two other exceptions like these, but they follow the same rule of having cleaned up their act in the last 3 or 4 years. That is Sakshi Maharaj in Uttar Pradesh and also Sadhvi Niranjan Jyoti. And Sadhvi Niranjan Jyoti, who earned her instant infamy or fame, you can choose your expression depending on which side you are on, by using the expression during Delhi elections of 2014, you can make a choice between Ramzade, that is the offspring or children of Ram, and bleep, 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 Zade. I will not even utter that word in polite company and on camera. She has also generally kept her act clean lately. Sakshi Maharaj, he's been not attacking the Muslims lately, although he's been in other parties as well. He's not, just because he's a sadhu or looks like a sadhu, I'm not sure how much of a sadhu he is, but he's not only particularly been with the BJP. Woh bhi aisa sadhu hai, jisne ghatkar ka pani piya hai. He's been there, done that. Also, this has been a way for the BJP, for the Modi Shah BJP, also to put some people on the sidelines, this approach. Narottam Mishra, former Chief Minister of Madhya Pradesh, for example, he was a headline hunter, champion headline hunter. Remember when Shivraj Singh Chauhan was Chief Minister, right? He lost his assembly election. Now he's not been given parliament as well. So he's now looking at some long period in the wilderness. So once again, just because he made controversial statements all the time, he tried to compete, in fact, with Yogi Adityanath in many ways. He's now down and out, and most important of the exclusions, right? I've deliberately kept it for the end. That is Pragya Singh Thakur. You know, our Malegaon cases, those cases are still carrying on, but in our legal system, you can turn this tap on and off. Sometimes the burner can come on, sometimes the burner can be put down, sometimes it can be put out for a few years. Probably that's the situation with her. She was fielded the last time she became an MP. She also made those statements about Mahatma Gandhi, which then Prime Minister Modi said had caused him a deep sense of hurt. She's not been fielded again this time. That's his signal as well. But once again, all of these also amount to what we had said earlier, which is that this BJP now thinks that it does not owe anything to any of these people, that it does not even need to send a thank you note by way of a Lok Sabha ticket, because these are all seats where they think they are going to win. Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, they think they are going to win most of these seats. So these tickets are like gifts of these seats, and they think now they don't owe these seats to any of these people because they've been used and discarded. Which brings us to the third point. The third takeaway is the turncoats. The BJP no longer has any shyness about turncoats. You can see that Naveen Jindal, formerly Congress MP, he's just joined the BJP. Within 24 hours, he got his ticket for Lok Sabha. There are others. Sita Soren in Jharkhand, sister-in-law of Hemant Soren, joined the BJP. Within 48 hours, got her ticket. There are many others. In fact, in Haryana, of the 10 candidates BJP has fielded, only 3 happen to be BJP natives. All the others are borrowed, some from the Congress party as well, including Ashok Tanwar, who only recently joined the BJP. Ashok Tanwar, by the way, was one of the young leaders picked up by Rahul Gandhi to rebuild his party for the future. He's a Dalit. He was made chief of the party in the state by Rahul Gandhi and then got estranged and left. He recently joined the BJP and he's got a BJP ticket as well. In Jharkhand itself, there's Madhu Koda's wife, Madhu Koda, who's a corruption convict. He spent quite a bit of time in jail. Jitin Prasada is a well-known case, but that defection took place some time back. He's been fielded. We know that Jyotiraditya Sindhya has been fielded, but those are slightly older defections. That's the reason we are not putting them in the same category as, say, Naveen Jindal, Ashok Tanwar, and some of the others. Now, champion of the turncoats, for example, Arjun Singh. This is not an Arjun Singh in the Hindi heartland someplace. This is Arjun Singh in West Bengal. Arjun Singh used to be somebody with TMC. He left TMC, joined the BJP. In fact, he defeated Dinesh Trivedi in Lok Sabha elections. Then he came back to TMC and he's come back to BJP now, and he's got a ticket again from the BJP. And then you can go on and on with the list. Even to give you a little factoid, Arun Govil, who played Lord Ram in the big famous teleserial, he's now got the BJP ticket from Meerut. He started his life as a Congress member in 1988. He joined the Congress party. He also campaigned alongside late Rajiv Gandhi. He's now the BJP candidate from Meerut. That's how, where you come from, ideological purity no longer matters for this BJP. And before I let you go towards the end, stay on with me. I will also tell you from where does the term turncoat come. and what does it mean? Now, next point, the fourth takeaway, ex-chief ministers. Look at the number of ex-chief ministers that the BJP is fielding of its own and also borrowed from others. So there is the most recent case, Manohar Lal Khattar in Haryana. He was chief minister just till the other day, a couple of weeks back. Then only a little less recent, Shivraj Singh Chauhan in Madhya Pradesh. He was chief minister until the last election in Madhya Pradesh, until a few months back, until December last year, that is until about four and a half months back. Biplav Deb, former BJP chief minister of Tripura. Basav Raj Bommai, former BJP chief minister of Karnataka. Trivendra Singh Rawat, former chief minister of Uttarakhand, also from the BJP. All of them have been fielded in this election, as of course those who have contested elections in the past, former chief ministers. These include Sarbanand Sonowal in Assam, Arjun Munda in Jharkhand, Kiran Kumar Reddy, former chief minister, although not from BJP, but from the Congress party. And then if you are really stretching the point, even Rajnath Singh has been a former chief minister, but that's a different category altogether. He's been at the center for a long time. Among the many former chief ministers the BJP has inducted, there's another one who's not contesting elections this time because he's been given a convenient Rajya Sabha entry anyway. That is Ashok Chauhan, formerly the Maharashtra chief minister for the Congress party and NCP, the Congress party, former Congress party leader. Next point, fifth point, corruption and dynasty are no longer an issue for the BJP. Now, all the names I mentioned to you, they all feature, in fact, in the earlier categories I have mentioned, where winnable candidates have been replaced by others, or where we said the BJP is picking so many turncoats. BJP has done so for in the past also, by the way. This election's full count is not yet out. When it comes in, I will tell you. But in 2014 elections, BJP had 33 turncoats. And how do we calculate this? How do we define turncoats? People who contested the previous election or until the previous elections were with another party. In 2019, if anything, that number had come down to 19. Looks like this year the number will go up. This year means this election, the number will go much larger. So corruption and dynasty are no longer any issues. BJP's own dynasty is Anurag Thakur, Dushyant Singh, the son of Vasundhara Raje in Rajasthan, Yadubir Singh, he is from the erstwhile royal family of Mysore. Raghavendra, the son of Yediyurappa, Vivek Thakur, the son of CP Thakur in Bihar, Bansuri Swaraj, Sushma Swaraj's daughter, Jyoti Mirdha, who's also a turncoat. Besides being a dynast, she's also a turncoat. She used to be in the Congress from Nagaur seat in Rajasthan. She's gone there. Sixth point. This is something the Congress never did when they were in power, particularly for 10 years under the UPA. And some of us, in fact, I wrote it also a couple of times, that if the Congress asked its Rajya Sabha Marathis to go and contest some elections, they will see how tough it is to get power. And they will not then take power so lightly. And they will be more responsible in how they responded generally to issues of governance or political implications of what they said or the positions they took. But the Congress never did that. A.K. Antony did not contest elections for a very, very, very long time, for example. And there were many, many, many others. I should not be reading off names. When I wrote these articles in the past under national interest, many of these people then said, oh, these are personal attacks on me just because I've had five terms in Rajya Sabha or four terms in Rajya Sabha. So-and-so is targeting me because my party keeps giving me Rajya Sabha because they need me so badly. However, see what the BJP is doing. This year means, when I say this year, I mean this election. Dharmendra Pradhan, central minister, contesting. Jay Panda, party vice president and in charge of the very important state of Uttar Pradesh. Piyush Goyal, minister for 10 years, contesting for the first time. Bhupendra Yadav, environment minister, a very powerful figure in the BJP, contesting. Rajiv Chandrasekhar, a very visible minister, contesting, and that too against Shashi Tharoor in Kerala. L. Murugan, Minister of State from Tamil Nadu, Rajya Sabha member, contesting. V. Muralidharan, Minister of State from Kerala, contesting. So all these Rajya Sabha members are being sent out to contest. And see the BJP's track record in the last two elections. Even prominent members of the cabinet, Arun Jaitley in 2014, and Hardeep Singh Puri in 2019, they were made to go and contest a Lok Sabha election. They lost. They continue to have their ministries, but that's the party's way of telling, first of all, telling the Rajya Sabha members not to take anything for granted, but also to go and learn how difficult it is to win elections. So you will be a little more grateful to those MPs who win their Lok Sabha seats, so you can have power. And also you will then know, that as Rajya Sabha members also, you should be as responsible towards your government and party as the elected, as those who have to go and seek elections. That is something the Congress never did and the BJP is doing. So if I draw a line under this, I will say this is a clear distinction between the Modi Shah BJP style and the Sonia Gandhi Manmohan Singh Congress party style for the previous preceding 10 years. Number seven, and that's the last point. Number seven, there is a clear southern push. See, for example, Governor of Telangana, Tamil Sai Sundararajan, being made to resign from the Raj Bhavan and contesting in Tamil Nadu. Suresh Gopi, the prominent actor, he's been put up to contest. Rajiv Chandrasekhar, I mentioned him earlier as among the Rajya Sabha members contesting. K. Annamalai, the party chief in Tamil Nadu, contesting. Anil Antony, the son of A.K. Antony, being put up to contest. Also K. Surendran. K. Surendran is the party chief, state BJP chief in Kerala. He's been fielded against Rahul Gandhi in Wayanad. So once again, there's a clear southern push. The conclusion is something which I dare say I tried to suggest in a National Interest article 3 weeks back, which I will share with you. You will find the link with the description of this video, where I said that looks like Narendra Modi's BJP right now, Narendra Modi and his BJP are setting up the contest. They are not fighting for 2024. They are fighting the contest for 2029. So they are preparing the South for 2029. That said, turncoat. From where does the word turncoat come? It's a very interesting history. Looks like, from whatever I read up, looks like the term emerged in between 12th and 13th century, like 1199 and 12-8 or thereabout. And that's where in Britain, loyalists of one lord changed their coat of arms for the coat of arms of another lord. And that's where the term turncoat comes in. Of course, then there were many iterations of it during the English Civil War in 17th century in the siege of Corfe Castle. The siege was won by Oliver Cromwell's soldiers when they turned their coats inside out to match the colors of the Royal Army. So the history of turncoats, or the expression turncoat, goes back more than 1,000 years. When we use this expression sometimes, I wonder where they've come from. And since I'm curious, I tend to search for them, and that's why I found them. And finally, something I want to tell you today, that a lot of you have taken memberships to our YouTube channel. The membership to our YouTube channel is different from a paid subscription to our website. That costs more, this costs less. However, this gets you a lot of the benefits of being subscribers to our website. Not all the benefits, but a lot of the benefits. So one of the promises we made to you is that the members will get all our key videos earlier than the others. That is early access. Sometimes it's half an hour, sometimes it's an hour. Our effort is to increase the gap, so our members get a higher benefit. From now, I know that with many of the videos, we've been able to keep that promise, but with some others, notoriously, and I'm the guilty party, notoriously, with Cut the Clutter, we've not been keeping that promise. I now promise you that I will work on it. I may not get it right every day because I tend to get late with Cut the Clutter, but I will try to improve our timings so our members can get early access that we promised. And more importantly, everybody gets to see these Cut the Clutter videos earlier. Because first of all, if I finish my work on time, then our members can get their privilege of early access. And in any case, an early publication is good for everybody. Why should Cut the Clutter be published at 11:30 or 12, as sometimes happens? And I'm sorry about that. I regret that. Barring days on which there is a late breaking story, this should not happen. And it will be my effort, my endeavor now, to keep it within a reasonable publishing hour.